So now we've got the first of tonight's speakers, so without further ado, I'm going to hand over to Gareth, who's going to talk for 15 minutes, so hand over to you, Gareth.
Yeah, thanks, Simon. My name is Gareth, I'm an addict. Good to be here, I think. I'm a little nervous, but that's okay. I'm just going to try and tell the truth. I think that's a good place to start, isn't it? I think I'm quite fortunate. My first experience of doing a chair was an incredibly traumatic experience because I had about a month's notice of doing it, and I rehearsed. That was about 6 months clean, and I rehearsed my speech for about a month, and all the jokes and the glamour and the integrity, all the usual shit. And I got into this room. I was in a meeting in Bournemouth called the loads of treatment centres there, and it was absolutely rammed. And I sort of got there, and I came around to speak, and I kind of cracked the first joke, and there was just like this deafening silence, and it kind of threw me into this horrible sort of shame spiral or something, I think you'd call it. And it was horrendous. It was a horrendous experience, but I had nowhere to live or anything. Attached to a treatment, and I was just like, everyone hated me and fucking exposed and all that sort of stuff. It was a very difficult experience, but what I took from it was like, just show up and tell the truth, just keep it simple, just get there, it's not about like, being funny or, being, Jack the Lad or being anything, all I've got's me and all I've got the truth, but being an addict, I want to go all the other places, I want to sound good, so... I'm gonna just try and tell it straight. So really, my experience, my life and my experiences, ever since I remember, I've been kind of like uncomfortable in myself. As far in sort of terms of addiction, the first kind of things I acted out on as a child were the stuff like lighting fires, fruit machines. I'd get madly obsessed about sports or bicycles or music, like all this sort of stuff, and that's really small. And then I got, at school, primary school, started smoking, fags whenever, B and H is the same size you are, all that type of stuff, and started drinking, and it just kind of went on from there. So I suppose that's where it started, and where it ended up was, I got my 20s, like totally, needle fixated. I just inject any word, inject anything, that total, use to live, live to use, completely. Just like a dark place, and it wasn't even... it wasn't even a lot of drugs or anything. I'd sort of like wake up and like crush up Viceptone pills and rinse out filters and do all that kind of business. By the time we were clean, I was prescribed warfarin to thin my blood because it kept clotting all the time. Threats to like amputate my leg. The hospital used to send taxis and ambulances to the house to take me to hospital to get my blood checked. My girlfriend was prostituting herself by this stage. She wasn't into hard drugs when I met her. Just kind of dire, kind of low level, existence, and sort of simultaneously while doing this, it was like I was going to art college. I went back to art college and tried to clean up. Didn't succeed. Sort of went to art college to like to steal things or try and get some money or do whatever. And so it's sort of like just kind of like ongoing thing, like in those last few years of really trying to stop as well. Went through a period of that I wouldn't buy. The only way I would buy drugs was in amounts, because I used to sell drugs as well and have to like have enough drugs to sell so I could have my own and just like that constant thing. But the last couple of years, it was all bags. I just bought bags because it was always the last one, It was like, always trying to stop. And, would be going home to Northern Ireland, to my parents. you know, and do these mad sort of withdrawals, you know, like really sort of rattle it out. And, you know, but I just like no concept of Paracis. I thought specific drugs were the problem. I thought injecting was the problem. You know, I'd go home and I'd really put myself through the mill on a lot of levels, you know, like really physically, and I'd start feeling a bit better and I'd start like trying to drink it out of myself. And I went some really dark places with that, you know, one place I really didn't want to go, you know, with a lot, you know, hanging out with people I didn't want to be around. And yeah, just, you know, I got kind of rough. But, you know, in the end, you know, there was a few events happened, I suppose, that I got clean, I got really ill. Two of my friends killed themselves, but my sort of best friend committed suicide. And I felt it was a kind of direct result of something I'd done. And it was just, I'll sort of tell you a situation that happened. It was just like, it's the sort of stuff that I just never ever want to happen again. It was like whenever we buried him at the wake of the funeral, you know, with this girl that he was going out with was there, and I'd blamed it all on her that why he had killed himself. And I ended up telling all this stuff to his brother at this, and we're all at this pub in Belfast, and everyone's like completely out of it. And I like told his brother this stuff about her. And then the next thing, I was looking for them, and the two of them had disappeared, right? And I was asking everyone where they were, and someone else said they'd seen them leave together, right? So I then got convinced that he had taken her outside to kill her. Like, I was fucking absolutely 100% that's what it was about, you know what I mean? And it was just horrendous, man, you know, and just the, like, you know, the relief of them coming back in, you know, was just, like, unbelievable. But, you know, but that's just, like, the sort of situations I used to get myself into, you know, because it just, you know, so dishonest and so, you know, just so full of shit or whatever, you know, just, like, those, that way you live, you know. And I just cannot deal with that. I just cannot deal with that kind of like anxiety anymore and those type of situations, you know. So all this happened, and you know, I'm trying to get clean, and you know, my girlfriend's all fucked up, and I ended up in detox, and I went to my first NA meeting there. You know, a guy that I was sharing a room with told me to go down to this NA meeting. He had been clean before. And he didn't come down, but I went down to this meeting, and I heard NA, and it was in a darkened room in this, like, you know, in a mental hospital somewhere in South London. And I gotta say, I really did not get anything that they were talking about. I was just like, what are you on about? You know, but the one thing I kind of grasped was that these two people had used drugs and didn't anymore. But as far as I was concerned, it wasn't like them. The circumstances of their life and my life were completely different. You know, and that was kind of it. But that was my first experience at NA. And I went to some more meetings, and I went to some treatment, and then I didn't do treatment, did some more using and all this kind of stuff. But sort of basically in May 2000, I got clean. You know, I ended up down in Bournemouth in the treatment centre. You know, and that's kind of been it. I feel like, you know, that was the beginning of my sort of second life. You know, I really do feel that way, you know. And, you know, I have another friend, you know, who I still see now, who hasn't drank for about 6 years or something. And I see him, and I fucking hell, man, he's just, like, talking about all this stuff that happened years ago. Like, yeah, and I'm going, what are you on about? And I just can't remember what are you on about? But it's like, but I feel that I've just had a life, like I've had this mental, you know, huge, full life, you know, in that, you know, in the 5 odd years of being clean, whereas, you know, he's like kind of trapped in a lot of stuff. He's a good guy and everything, but he's kind of, you know, still really in the problem, and he's still back there, you know, in the 90s somewhere, you know what I mean? And, you know, but God, you know, so much has changed, and, you know, on a physical level, you know, I don't take warfarin anymore, and they told me that I would have to take that forever, you know, stop taking that, and, you know, my health is, like, so good, and it's something I value so much, and it's, like, I write gratitude lists, because my head goes, it's something I do it every day, like, and I put in my prayers, you know, thank God that I have my legs, you know what I mean? Like, you know, that I can, you know, I've got everything. You know, love, you know, being healthy. You know, but I think the only reason, you know, all I can really say, you know, about any of this is that it's down to steps, it's down to coming to meetings, it's down to, you know, service, you know, sponsorship, you know, those things that you hear, you know, hear all the time, you know, but it's kind of what I try to do in my, you know, in my imperfect way, you know, I do it. I've worked through the steps with a sponsor, I've worked the 12 steps, you know, and I try and implement them in my life on a daily basis. You know, and I heard something the other day that you can break the steps down into like five sections or something. Like, I think that, you know, the first step is the membership requirement, you know, and the second, third, and 11th step are the spiritual, you know, part of the program. You know, fourth, sixth, and seventh is all the inventory taken. Yeah, 8 and 9 will make amends. Yeah, the restitution steps, and the 12th is we carry the message, you know, like when we do service, you know. So am I going, like, am I doing this stuff, you know, on a daily basis, you know, I'm admitting them part is, you know, I'm a praying and meditating, I'm a trying to make conscious contact, I'm a being honest with myself, you know, I'm a checking myself, you know, I'm a making amends, like, you know, directly, you know, where they're needed, or like indirectly, you know, I have indirect amends that my sponsor told me to do, and amongst them are, you know, random acts of loving kindness and generosity, you know what I mean? That's one of my favorites, I gotta say. You know, listening to other people when we're having a conversation, as opposed to just waiting for the, you know, my turn to speak, you know, to help other people achieve their goals and, you know, getting on and, you know, and doing their life. You know, and blessing people, you know, everyone I meet with, you know, like happiness, joy, and laughter, you know, all this sort of stuff. And I really, you know, and I do try and do it, you know, do it all the time, don't remember, but I do this shit. And I've made amends directly, you know, like I've paid people back, you know, I've gone to see people, you know, I went to that friend I was talking about, you know, went to his grave and, like, you know, and I made amends there and, you know, still keep in touch with his family and, you know, just different things, you know, and, you know, so I feel that I'm doing it, you know, I feel that I'm doing it, and, you know, and I've got to keep an eye on myself, because, you know, I slip and slide a bit, you know, but, you know, as a consequence of doing this, you know, I'm in a place in my life, you know, I'm going to be 33 in a couple of weeks, you know, I've got a great place to live, you know, I've got a great career, in fact, you know, that, you know, I don't have a lot of money or anything, but I do something I really enjoy. You know, I've got people around me that I want to be around. You know what I mean? I used to hang out with this guy, right? I used to hang out with this guy in Brighton, and he was paranoid and schizophrenic, and he didn't take his medication, and he smoked a lot of crack. You know what I mean? And he had multiple personalities. And they were all, every personality was a complete bastard. You know what I mean? They had like no redeeming features. You know what I mean? It's like when his girlfriend OD'd one day, just robbed her and left her for dead. You know, it was like, and that's how there are people I used to hang out with, man. You know what I mean? And couldn't, and I'd just keep going back, you know, put myself in those situations, you know. And so I don't know, that's kind of, I'm going to wrap it up there. You know, my hope is that, you know, I'm going to stay clean for the rest of the day. My hope is that, you know, I keep working this recovery and see, you know, what life has to offer, you know, because I know there's a big adventure to be had, you know, and, you know, I think about drugs, man, and I miss all that, I miss a lot of it, you know, but I just can't deal with the other side of it, you know. I love the rush, you know, like, I love the, you know, I love the gear, I love the coke, and, but, you know, I love this as well, so I'm going to leave it there, but, you know, anybody new, you know, please keep coming back.
Thanks, Gareth.